You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The bare naked isness of the present moment. In this episode, Eckhart laughs with his audience. He exclaims, "There's hope for humanity when such a big crowd seeks greater consciousness." He also explains that inspiration can quickly turn to perspiration when we encounter obstacles, especially with the people in our lives. He quotes existential philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre, who famously said, "Hell is other people." While Eckhart believes that is an ego-based perspective, many of us feel that life is full of experiences we shouldn't have. We think something is wrong with us or that God has a grudge when misfortune strikes. Eckhart says the greatest part of unhappiness comes from our minds and the stories we tell ourselves. He says the answer to life's struggles will never be found in our thinking. He believes we find freedom when we release our inner baggage, unencumbered, to discover the bare, naked isness of the present moment.
Wonderful welcome. Thank you so much. And a lovely energy field. So many humans becoming present. Wonderful to see. There is hope for humanity after all. It's easy to forget if you look on the internet. So you're all here. Almost all of you are going through a transformation of consciousness, one could say, to a greater or lesser degree, although you may not call it that. Something has shifted in you or is in the process of shifting. And why we are here is to deepen that shift in consciousness and to anchor it more deeply within yourself so that the state of presence can be sustained in everyday life. And everyday life is, as you might have noticed, continuously challenging. And the most challenging thing about everyday life, or one of the most challenging things, is other people. Because people are, you might have noticed, extremely challenging. These challenges that continuously appear in your life are often regarded as something that should not be happening. These problems, why do problems crop up always? No matter where I move to or what I attain, sooner or later, and usually sooner, there's something that goes a little bit wrong. Something happens that's not supposed to happen. And life is full of these events. And in many people, not you, there is an assumption that there is something wrong with life because life is not meant to be continuously challenging, to bring up to put obstacles in my path, so it seems quite often. And to say, well, what is wrong with life? And some people take it personally. They say, what's wrong with my life? There's something very wrong with me. Or they take it personally and say, there's a God who must dislike me because I encounter one obstacle after another. So that is an underlying assumption in many people's mind, but that is delusional because these challenges are meant to be there. They are an essential part of being here for a little while in this dimension. And if it were not for the challenges of everyday life, big and small, there would be no awakening of consciousness. So through the pressure of challenges, we are being awakened. And not only humans, every life form experiences life as precarious and fragile and often difficult.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Many obstacles have to be overcome, not only for humans, but for all other life forms. Even a blade of grass has to be overcome obstacle until it finally comes up out of the soil. And every animal, every bird can see how alert birds are. When you observe a bird, you could say the bird looks really present. And compared to many humans, not you, the bird is actually very present. When you observe a bird, you see the bird goes like... very present. But it's been like that for hundreds of thousands, of a million years. It has to be alert because if this alertness is there, it has survived. This has been generated over thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. That alertness, all the birds that were not alert, they disappeared. They got eaten up. The survival of each individual bird is continuously precarious. And the bird has to be alert, so the bird is being forced into that state of alertness. This is just one little example. And I know from my own life, and many of you know from your life, that you have gone through a certain amount of suffering in life. There were challenges, there were problems, you had to confront them, unhappiness arose, and at some point, something shifted in you. At some point, there was a deepening, there was an awakening, and at some point you realized that the greater part of, to use a generic term, suffering or unhappiness in your life, which is unhappiness is huge in the human consciousness, a huge weight in human consciousness, the greater part of unhappiness actually arises through a dysfunctional use of your mind and not so much the circumstances of your life. And that's an interesting realization that the unhappiness that you experience, even if there are big challenges, small or big, the greater part of the unhappiness you experience arises through certain kinds of narrative in your mind, certain stories that you tell yourself about life, other people, or yourself. And that's an interesting realization which you can verify at any time tomorrow, if you haven't done it yet. And if the moment slightest irritation arises in a situation, anger arises, discomfort arises, ask yourself, what is causing this? And the first answer will be, well, obviously, this rude person causes me to be irritated and angry. Or this situation that I'm stuck in, the place where I live causes me to be irritated or angry. Or a certain condition that my body is experiencing is causing me to be anxious or sad or angry that something has happened to me. And so there's always, the first thing is you see the cause is there, that's the cause. And on the surface level, this is perfectly true, but that's only the surface level. So tomorrow, when you encounter the first little thing that brings about perhaps a minor form of unhappiness in whatever form, to be very alert, like the bird, and say, does it come from this situation? And let's say I'm stuck at the airport, my flight's been canceled. This is a small, little situation, not a huge problem, but sometimes you might make it into a huge problem, the mind. So you're there, you feel anxious, angry, irritated. Ultimately, you're suffering. It's a small form of suffering. Now, ask yourself, if I did not add any narrative to this situation that I'm finding myself in, how would I experience this situation? Narrative meaning certain thoughts that go through your mind that refer to the situation. Now, if I did not add the ultimately, since we are using an airport analogy or example, this narrative you could consider to be excess baggage that you carry around. And you carry it around in your life. You don't know it. And that becomes the burden of me. It becomes the burden of self, a heavy sense of self. And you start discovering it in a little situation, like at the airport. You start discovering already the burden of yourself. How would I experience this situation without the excess baggage of my narrative with which I judge the situation? Okay, you have plenty of time because your flight has been canceled, so you can experiment. Say, okay, now I'm here. Now I am letting go of the narrative. Nothing has changed in the situation. The external situation is still the same. On the board it says, canceled. Or maybe you're standing and there's a huge lineup, 100 people or more, which before this was a terrible situation. You're finding yourself absolutely dreadful. This airline, awful, awful airline. That's all gone because you're experimenting with experiencing the situation without the narrative. So you remove the narrative. What remains then is the bare, naked isness of that moment. The isness, the simple isness of the present moment. Nothing has changed externally, but you have put down or let go of the excess baggage in your mind. And what is it that you're now experiencing? You're experiencing your body standing there. You experience your sense perceptions. You look around. Mm-hmm. You listen, whatever sounds may be there, whatever other sense perceptions may be there. And you realize that you're breathing. Oh, that's interesting. I'm breathing. And then you say, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. Actually, without the narrative, I feel alive. I feel I'm breathing, and I might even beginning to feel a little bit of aliveness pervading my body in this moment. I can feel that there's an aliveness in every cell of the body that pervades. I feel alive, I'm breathing. And you don't even need to tell yourself that, you simply notice it. You notice whatever sense perception is here in the present moment. And suddenly, you're experiencing the same situation as no longer something that causes you suffering, because you have removed the mental narrative and you are simply facing the isness of this moment. And as you do that, that is the shift in consciousness. You have become present. And the sense of self that actually thrived on complaining a lot begins to dissolve, or at least recede. This sense of self that, yes, let's admit it, this sense of self that loved complaining about situations, that loved and almost was addicted to complaining about all these people, other people, what they did, and then situations, and then politicians, and all these awful things, awful, just. And it complained about my life, my spouse, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, the only thing it perhaps didn't complain about was my dog.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So when you become present, the narrative recedes, and instead of experiencing the present moment through the narrative in your mind, which is all conditioned by the past, these are thought structures, thought streams of thought that go through your head. And when you are not present, you are in the grip of these conditioned streams of thought that go through your head. And a lot of the time, the thoughts are negative. They're more negative than positive. It's a strange fact. When something so-called bad happens to you, a person is rude to you or insults you or doesn't acknowledge you, or something during a trip, something goes wrong, something bad you think about for a long time. This is what how the human mind does it. Oh, when he insulted me, but now I know what I should have answered when he said that. Why didn't I say that? Next time I'm going to say, and you continue to experience the emotion of that moment, and you replay it in your mind, that situation. And there's a continuous self-talk in it. There's the mental dialogue, monologue or dialogue. Monologue is when you say I, but for many people it's a dialogue, they talk to themselves. Why didn't you say that? Well, I couldn't think of it in the moment. So the mind splits itself in two, and then you have a discussion with yourself. And one part accuses you, and the other part defends you. And you don't even know what's happening, because this entire thing that's happening in your mind is, at that moment, is your reality. And there is nothing beyond it in that moment. It constitutes your, this is how you experience the world. This is how you experience life. and you don't even know. This is what we call unconscious. You don't know that you're unconscious. Unconscious, when we use the term, we're not using it in a conventional sense, because in a conventional sense, when you say unconscious, it means you... I'm unconscious. I mean, you can't even say I'm unconscious because you're unconscious. But in spiritual terms, when we use the term unconscious, it means something different. It doesn't mean that you've fallen off the chair. No, it means you're completely identified with this stream of thinking. Any thought that arises, you're completely in its grasp. Whatever it is, the thought gets hold of you, it lives in, it arises, you've taken it on, perhaps, probably in the past, some certain thoughts from the world around you, so you begin to think certain thoughts that reflect, to a large extent, the thoughts that other people think. So they're not your thoughts, you just take them on from the world around you, so they live in you, and then they proliferate. They're little, like little entities, they're in your mind, and they go... And they're a bit like a virus. A virus can infect your physical body, but a thought can very often has the same function as a virus on the physical level. It's a mental virus that can take over your mind, and very often it does. Amazing realization. So you have all these thoughts, and yeah, there is a self-identification with thought, with the stream of thinking, which means you are not really there. There is a stream of thinking pretending to be you, so to speak. Interesting, very interesting fact. So this is what in many spiritual traditions is called the illusion of the self, as the Buddha called it. One of the main points of the Buddha's teaching is the self that you think you are is ultimately a fiction. It's ultimately a fiction in your mind. You live through a fiction in your mind. And this fiction in your mind is continuously sustained by this stream of unconscious thinking, thought activity. And it's not only the Buddha, it's many other spiritual traditions. And even Jesus said, deny thyself, deny thyself. Those two words, or maybe three, deny yourself, they're very profound, exactly the same. Why did he say deny thyself? Because the self is real and then you should deny it. The implication is, you should recognize the self as ultimately not real, and by recognizing it as ultimately not real, it is denied. So you're not fighting it, you're not saying to your real self, go away, I don't want you anymore. How do you deny? So when Jesus says deny thyself, it means recognize the unreality of what you so far, hitherto, consider to be you, your identity, your sense of self. Realize that ultimately it is a mental fiction. And you live through it. If you don't awaken spiritually, if there's no awakening, then for the rest of your life, you live identified with this mental fiction of yourself. And a lot of that is an unhappy self. Occasionally you get breaks. You say, oh, life is good. I just got a promotion. Oh, great. And then 6 months later, you're ill with stress because the job is so hard. And you can, or suddenly you say, oh, I feel so great because I've just had this drink. And it's... my problems don't really matter that much anymore. And there's a longing in humans to be free of the burden of their sense of self, which for many humans is a very unhappy self. It is amazing the burden that many humans, millions still on this planet, they carry around with themselves without knowing that it is a mental fiction. You, even some of you, may have remnants of this in your life. You may experience when you start thinking and talking about something that you call my life. My life. Oh my God. This is what it has come to. It wasn't meant to be like this. Something happened on the way to F it all up. Something, I don't know what, but there can't be a God, because otherwise he would have done something to help. I had imagined something much, much better when I was 18 and 19. Oh, I imagined these just lovely things happening. Great marriage, job, all kinds of wonderful things. I was meant to be fulfilled. Life was here to fulfill me. Why didn't it do that? And then you think about my life. For some people, it's a very unhappy story. There's an enormous amount of regret, an enormous amount of resentment from past, an enormous amount of grievances, huge baggage they carry around in their mental emotional field. There's guilt, regret, grievances. Oh, and then this you take to be you. These are thoughts that go through your head. It's a story, the unhappy story of unhappy me. Let me tell you about me. Surely it's worse than your story. I'm sure it's worse than your story. And then the other ones, oh no, you haven't listened to mine. And then, of course, not every sense of self is totally unhappy. Some are sporadically happy. Occasionally you have periods of high, and great. Everything is going fine. Everything is going fine. My health is fantastic, strong and good-looking body. And get just a great relationship, just going fantastic, great. Job, oh, fantastic, just to make my first $1 million. Already thinking about a private jet. Although I need a few more million before that can happen. Children are doing so well that they're all the best at school, at university. They're all great. They're going to have a fantastic career. Friends, fantastic, good circle of friends and everything. Very rare. And if one or two of you are happy to be in that particular life situation right now, I don't want to be negative, but it's not going to last very long. So, identity is the question, the who am I? Am I that story of me? And the story of me is, of course, based on the past, and it looks to the future for its fulfillment. So it derives its identity from the past, the things that I have achieved, or my failures, or my successes, or the things that people have done to me, or the things that I have done to other people, the things that I have acquired, the things that I have lost. Those things make up the story of me, and you remember it, and that's my life. So you call it my life. But what you call my life is a story in your mind. And that's why most people who are not, or those people who are not awakened at all to a deeper dimension of consciousness that we call presence, we could also call it awareness, and there are other words, Those who have not awakened to that are trapped in this delusional sense of self. And many humans spend the rest of their life in an increasingly, in many cases, increasingly unhappy sense of self, unless there are little openings into the transcendent dimension, which can sometimes happen through a serious illness that you contract. It can happen to approaching old age and you realize suddenly that at some point you're going to die. And then the story becomes at first very unhappy, or somebody close to you dies, or you had identified with the, let's say you were lucky enough to have a great looking body, better than others, so you could derive your mental sense of self from identification with the thought form of my body is superior and better looking than most people's bodies. That's a little story in your mind too. It's not ultimate, it's not the body, it's the thought of my body. So you had a great sense, and then you moved to Miami because here you can display your body more easily on the if life has given you the gift of a healthy, strong, beautiful body, for you enjoy this gift that life has given you. But if your sense of self is, for example, primarily, as in some people's cases is primarily derived from identification with this body image, then, of course, you're in for suffering in the future, because a moment comes as years pass, and they pass, the more years in your life, the more quickly they pass. It's a strange fact. So the years pass, and then the years become decades, and then two decades pass, and then one day you stand in front of the mirror, and something, you suddenly notice something has happened to my body. And then suffering arises because you had identified with something temporary, something ephemeral, something that ultimately is not you, but you had taken it to be you. And then say, oh my God. And then you buy a different mirror just in the hope that it wasn't you that got older, it was the mirror. But it wasn't the mirror, it was you. Then, of course, you can, if you can afford it, you can engage in certain repair mechanist jobs. You can see if, okay, you can delay the aging process up to a point, but already suffering becomes part of that. And I know some people who were so strongly identified with their body, as they grew older, they became very, very unhappy, because their entire sense of self got eroded. Of course, humans not only derive their fictitious sense of self from this mental image of my body, there are many, many ways in which the fictitious sense of self can proliferate, can grow in you. If it's not the body, it could be something that you put on the body. That's something that you wear. That, okay, then you have a new sense of, an additional sense of self. Your clothes, you merge mentally you with your clothes. So you say, this is my designer outfit, and it looks great. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. If it's something beautiful, you can enjoy it. We're talking about something else. We're talking about deriving your sense of identity, or part of your sense of identity, from something external. So you have clothes, and they can show how you... Now, this sense of identity that we actually call ego, the fictitious sense of identity, is the ego. The ego lives in an almost continuous state of insufficiency. I am not enough yet. There's something big still lacking in my life. That's an underlying sentiment, an underlying feeling, an underlying thought. I haven't arrived yet. There's something missing. There's something lacking. I'm not enough. But I'm looking to acquire more, to be more, to become more, in order to develop a fully satisfying sense of self. But of course, on that level of existence, you can never achieve an ultimately and lastingly satisfying sense of self. But many humans don't know that, so they continue to search. Now, what the fictitious sense of self lives on and looks for continuously, what it needs, it compares itself. It needs to compare itself to others. And so, as it compares itself to others, this fiction in your mind, it needs to find some area of superiority to others. It needs to stand out more, to feel it is a bit more than the other. And that strengthens the sense of self. So it needs the idea, the thought of the other to compare itself to, and then to feel that it is superior in some way to the other. And that's very interesting, that whatever the ego, the egoic sense of self wants to achieve, it defines itself through the other. For example, wealth. If you want to, the wealth is what many people look for, because yes, it can give you, it can satisfy your sensory desire, it can satisfy your senses. If you are wealthy, you can eat whatever you like. But these are secondary things. Yes, you can eat whatever you like. You can probably buy any sensory experience that you want. You can probably fly to anywhere on the planet at any given moment to experience something new there. And there are wealthy people who do that. They're in a continuous search for more fulfillment. So let's look there. No, this isn't good enough. Now let's look there. I knew somebody who said, whenever I feel a bit depressed, I fly to Paris and go to the best restaurant there, and that helps for a couple of days. And then it wears off. Oh, then you're again with the unhappy sense of self. So the wealth is really there in order to feel I am more myself, more than the other. Imagine the world where everybody is equally wealthy. And then the entire term wealthy would disappear. There wouldn't be anything. The word wealthy would not even exist. And you could not define your identity through being wealthy, because everybody is equally wealthy. So it means nothing anymore. So it would be totally meaningless to the ego.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Eckhart Tolle, Essential Teachings, the podcast. You can follow these essential teachings on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you haven't yet, go to Spotify and follow this podcast. Join us next week for more enlightened teachings from Eckhart Tolle. Thank you for listening.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.